Good evening. Welcome to the April 9th meeting of your Aiken City Council. We're going to have an invocation led by Mr. Johnson and a pledge. We're going to have Chief Franco come up here, so we'll ask Mr. Johnson this time. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Oh, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, once again you have allowed us to assemble at this appointed place. We ask you, Lord, if it is thy will, that thou would bless our gathering, and whatever is said and done will be done to the glory and honor of thy name. We ask that you bless our governing body, our city council members, and bless the citizens of the city of Aiken. Bless those, our Father, nationwide. All these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, sir. Council.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to welcome everyone out to our meeting tonight. I'd like to just review our guidelines of our meetings at this time. Meetings are a public forum in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During the public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to me. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow the opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And we appreciate your adhering to our guidelines. With that, I would like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Councilwoman Diggs, for any additions or deletions to the agenda. Councilwoman Diggs.
Good evening. Mr. Mayor and members of council, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? There being none, I make a motion that we approve the agenda as presented.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor? That passes. Thank you. The minutes were distributed to council members for their review before our meeting. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Second?
Second.
Mr. Mayor, I have an objection to the minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Page 33.
Mm-hmm.
It indicated that I was present for a vote at city council meeting in the room here with the capital project sales tax floor. I was not present.
Okay.
Because of that.
Okay. Would that change to the minutes? Any other changes? Okay, would that change noted? All those in favor of the minutes? Okay, thank you. We'll move down to old business under our agenda. Number one under old business is approval of appointments and discussion of appointments to various city boards, commissions, and committees. We'll look to our city manager, Mr. Beanball.
Mayor, thank you. Tonight we have two appointments for council's consideration. Council Member Price is recommending the reappointment of Angela Key to the Accommodations Tax Committee, and she's also recommending the reappointment of Brenda Hallman to the Senior Commission. And those two appointments are up for council's consideration tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Beanball. Okay, is there a motion for approval for these two nominees?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Are there any names to be put into consideration for our next meeting of our council?
Mr. Mayor, I have Jermaine Williams at 1339 President Drive that's interested in continuing his service on the Building Code Appeals Committee, the Board of Adjustments Appeals.
Very good. Any others?
I'd like to reappoint Mary Beth Fields. She's with the Lower Savannah Council on Governments. Have her reappointed to that same position on Senior Commission.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gerda. All right. We'll have those names for consideration in our next meeting.
Can I ask a question about that? The people whose term expired, it's my understanding they're still on until they're replaced?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving down old business to number two, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex and zone property at 1513 Pine Log Road as residential single family RS-15 by title. An ordinance to annex property located at 1513 Pine Log Road and is on the same residential single family RS-15. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilwoman Gregory. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, tonight we have the property owner at 1513 Pine Log Road requesting annexation and zoning for RS-15. The Planning Commission heard this at their March 13th meeting and unanimously recommended approval, which Council unanimously passed on first reading March 26th.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments from Council? All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number three under old business, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the city code regarding special tax assessment for rehabilitation of historic properties. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Dewar. Is there a second?
Second.
Councilman Jared, I appreciate that. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Design Review Board reviewed the city code, the special tax assessment for rehabilitation of historic properties, and currently this allows the assessed value of property, it freezes it when improvements greater than 20% of the appraiser assessed value are made, and it is felt that the city code does need to be amended to provide some additional clarification. DRB approved this at their January meeting. The Planning Commission approved this March 13th, and City Council then considered it and approved it at first reading on March 26th. And essentially, I know there were several questions at the last meeting, and I will attempt to answer them, and I know Mr. Bland is here to go into some additional details, but essentially what this city code amendment would change is what is an eligible cost or what type of work is eligible for this special tax assessment. Properties must still be rehabilitated to federal Department of Interior standards, and this property, it's sort of a case-by-case basis at the discretion of the Design Review Board as these property owners apply to the DRB for their consideration. And I know there were other questions as well that had come up, but I think these were the main ones that were asked at the last meeting that were addressed, and we wanted some additional clarification. But we have this item up for second reading tonight to amend the code for this special tax assessment.
All right. Thank you. Any comments from the audience? And I do know Mr. Bland is here too. Any comments or questions from council we may have further on this? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Beanball. Moving down to number four under old business, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending the old Aiken design guidelines regarding window signs. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jarrett. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. The old Aiken design guidelines do regulate exterior improvements and appearances within the downtown business district, which is under the purview of the Design Review Board, and as more branding of businesses, as it becomes more commonplace, we're seeing more and more of the window graphics in this area. And currently, the storefronts are allowed signage no greater than 50% of the window coverage. The amendment would allow for exceptions for coverage to screen utility, mechanical, office space, waiting areas, and vacant spaces where the sign would still address pedestrian traffic and not detract from the architecture of the building. And it would also allow for external application of the signage. Essentially, as the planning director and I were discussing earlier, these are just general standards. We cannot regulate the regulating the content and taste is entirely not the intent of this. And council did approve this ordinance on first reading at the March 26th meeting. After, of course, the Planning Commission recommended its passage at their March 13th meeting.
All right, thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
Yeah, I still have major concerns with it. It doesn't address the windows per se, only the signs on windows. And sometimes with a large window, you can have a larger sign, larger letters, and to me they're somewhat unsightly. So I will not support it again. I'd like to see some more limitations.
Any other comments? All those in favor of this motion? It's Councilman Waltz, Councilman Price, Councilman Gregory, the Mayor, Councilman Diggs, Councilman Jared O'Thor, all those opposed? Councilman DeBar. Motion carries. Moving down to number five. Rural business. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the 2017-18 budget to repair a well at Citizens Park by title and ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2017 and ending June 30th, 2018. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Duvar. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mayor, thank you. We have a need to make a repair to the well at Citizens Park, which went down in February. This well irrigates our fields at Parks 2 and 4. And we did receive bids for this. The lowest responsible bid was Austin Drilling of Columbia, and in order to make these needed repairs, we need to make a budget adjustment for this expenditure from the hospitality tax, as noted in the cover memo. And this is for council's consideration at second reading to provide the funding for the needed repair.
Thank you, Mr. Beanbaugh. Any comments from the audience? Comments, questions from council?
I have a question based on my lack of knowledge. What is the expectancy, the life expectancy of a well given the age of this park? Can anyone answer that?
I do not have that information, and this, I guess, well dates back to probably about 25 years. Ago, but I'm not sure.
Jessica's here. Yes, Parks.
I apologize because I don't know the life expectancy either, but I do know the entire system, the pump and all, is what's being replaced. So it should be an all new system that should last us another 20 years, we would hope.
It's been replaced, not repaired, in essence.
Correct.
So everything is coming in new.
Correct.
They're drilling a new well?
Well, I mean, they're not digging a new well, they're just replacing the pump.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, did we get any bids from local people?
I do have that bid list. I think it's attached to the...
Yeah, it is attached in the back. We got other bids from Graves, which is in Aiken County, Dixie Well, and from A.G. Schultz of the Carolinas.
I missed that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
Absolutely.
Where's Austin Drilling?
Columbia.
And which one is? Okay, gotcha. I see it.
Yeah. Any other comments or questions from council?
I suppose we have some idea of what their work is, that we're not giving the low bid because it's the low bid and not the best.
Yes, typically we do, we typically go with the lowest dollar bid. We do have a local vendor preference, and it is capped at $3,000. If you're an in-the-city business, it is 5% off your bid, capped at $3,000. If you're a county business, it's 3% of your bid, capped at $3,000. Again, the local vendor would still bill us the full amount of what their bid is, but in terms of determining the lowest bid, we use that criteria, and that is in our purchasing code.
Okay. My question was related to the fact that because it's low, it doesn't mean that the quality of work is what we're looking for, so that's why.
Right. We investigated, and the purchasing recommended this firm as well as Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Very good. And all those in second reading? And that's unanimous.
You read her mind.
What a mayor.
I'm reading what you're thinking. Number six under old business is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the sale of 721 Vincent Avenue Northeast in Carlson Park. By title, an ordinance approving the sale of 721 Vincent Avenue Northeast in Carlson Park subdivision. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Diggs, Councilwoman Price seconded. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. We do have tonight second reading of an ordinance to approve the sale of this property. The buyer is offering $54,000, and we would pay the closing costs and a home warranty. And we purchased this home April 2009 for $50,000 and spent $112,189 on between the purchase price and other work on this property that we've owned for 9 years. And should council approve this tonight, we will go ahead and get the closing scheduled, and this will be the last house in our inventory of this project. So this is up for council consideration tonight.
How many lots do we have?
How many lots do we have in Crosland Park, or just general?
This takes everything out of Crosland.
That's correct. We list what we'll have left in Crosland Park is the park itself at the northern intersection of Aldrich and York, the community garden on Aldrich, two pocket parks, which one on Croft, one on Aldrich, which leads to Aiken Elementary and Aiken Middle, North Aiken Elementary and Aiken Middle, and then the little community house that public safety has some staff at, and they use for meetings and such.
Great. Has everything else went to Second Baptist?
Correct. We transferred a number of properties to Second Baptist, as well as sold some beginning in 2010, I believe, is when we sold the first house.
Do we have any comments from the audience? Okay. Comments from council? Mr. Gerda?
Well, this is the last one, correct?
You've been waiting.
Last one of the houses. You know, I go back on this. I was asked to appraise these houses right after they came on the market. I guess 2010 mm-hmm. was when the first one sold. It's been a while, 8 years ago. And it was unfortunate I came after the fact. It was already underway. This is a project that was done for really good intentions, and it just didn't work. And the fact of the matter was, when I saw it, I said, this won't work because you're trying to force it. And it's not the subdivision's fault. It is what it is, and the values are what they are. But you can't try to double the value of homes that are already existing on that minor level. Now, if we'd done all 600 in the subdivision, then maybe a different story. But again, you learn. Let's just learn from what happened here. You don't do things just to have good intentions. And that's not giving up on Crossing Park either. We can do some things, but going forward, we have to be careful and ask the experts.
I agree. I think if we had done even one street at a time of houses rather than random lots, because yeah. you still had to consider the value of the houses around you, which wasn't great at all.
That's
so
correct. I mean, the market,
impact on it.
Market is what it is. I mean, we can take that on any subdivision. The values within the market or of the subdivision are what they are. And you go and put, let's just say the value of the subdivision, each home is worth $400,000, and you build an $800,000 home, it's not going to work. So, again, just learn from the mistakes of that. And one block, then, yeah, you might be able to do it all together.
Well, I think it would be worth noting that a lot of the success of finally selling all these went to a former city employee, still a friend of the city, but Emery Langston worked diligently on getting this inventory.
Yes, sir.
Out of our hands. So.
And I might add, it made the neighborhood better.
Right.
The houses that were improved are better,
right.
but it doesn't equate value of spending twice as much to get it there. That's sort of a diminishing return.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. All right, this might be our final time voting on a property in Crossland Park. All those in favor of this motion, of this ordinance on second reading and public hearing to approve the sale of 721 Vincent Avenue in Crossland Park. And that's unanimous. Moving down to number 7, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to transfer funds in capital project sales tax 3 from the water system account to the sewer system account by title and ordinance to repurpose the use of funds from the capital project sales tax. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. We are bringing tonight an item that has been out since mid-November. We are ready to tackle two projects that we can use capital project sales tax money from, provided council allows the transfer of some surplus funds from water infrastructure to sewer infrastructure for two projects specifically. One is oxygen injection systems project for the for Woodside and Jim Lake's lift stations. Chemicals tamp the odor down from those lift stations, but they have a detrimental effect on the life of the infrastructure. And there is a way that by using oxygen, it can extend the life of that. Of these systems versus using the chemicals, the bioxide. And the second is to do the replacement of a Sandhurst sewer aerial crossing, which is a line that we have on the western side of Whiskey Road adjacent to Hitchcock Woods. That line needs replacing, and the total cost would be $1,180,000. And we did have this item for council consideration and first reading on November 27th, and we are bringing it back for second reading for council's consideration so we can begin these projects that are needed as part of our infrastructure plan.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments, questions from council?
Yes. How much money is remaining in these funds that we're transferring a portion of it to this project?
I think I'm going to ask Joy to come up. I know she's worked on the updated list and provided this passes. Correct me if I'm wrong, we would have approximately $1.3 million left in water. Right now, the sewer has a balance of approximately $173,000.
And water has a little over $3 million.
And Joy, refresh my memory here. The reason that we had this in our CPST account was to do what with it? You probably don't remember back that far, but obviously we placed it in for a reason.
Right. I wasn't here whenever the projects were established, but my understanding is that there was a lump sum that was divided into the water and sewer that could be basically used interchangeably between the two accounts for projects.
Yes, that was the extra money that the county gave us because we did not have the hospitality tax. And we split it up between water and sewer.
Okay. And tell me, we don't know yet who's going to do the work at Woodside and Gem Lakes, the lift station.
We do not. We spend approximately $200,000 to $250,000 a year on chemicals to treat those lift stations.
Mm-hmm.
This project at $910,000 will more than pay for itself in less than 5 years. And so that's a good payback on this system upgrade.
Okay.
The issue that we had at in Alpine up in that area?
I believe so. Yes,
yes it would. That's over in South Meadows?
Yes.
Yes.
No, not South Meadows.
No, Southwood. Southwood, thank you.
Yeah,
Southwood.
Yeah.
South Meadows is down towards Toledo.
We desperately need
yes.
Okay. We have applied for a grant for a portion of the Woodside improvements, so we're just going to wait and see kind of where that grant falls, but it's a $500,000 grant.
Are there other areas that we're having this water system infrastructure, sewer system infrastructure we need to focus on in the future?
I think if you look at our list, we get sewer lift stations all over town.
What I'm looking at, frankly, is Woodside, the age of Woodside, and the age of the rest of our community, and where we need to focus, and that's what my question's leading here.
Priority of them, you're right.
Well, these are two of the lift stations that pump out of our system into the county PSA system. This is the last stop before it goes to the county. With this injection of putting oxygen in it, we're then reducing the amount of a chemical into the system. Oxygen, of course, is not toxic. So, doing this, we're going to then, it'll be easier on the system itself, the pipes. Yes, we did reline the pipes, or Ted Jones did a while back, around Power Station 4. It helped on extending the life of the pipes in the facility, but we still have an odor problem, which many of you probably hear about. But anyways, with the oxygen put in, it will reduce the chemicals expenditure that we're doing, which we had to even increase that budget this year because we started running out of chemicals. So the offset of having the expenditure for the chemicals compared to not having to buy that and then this upfront money, the payback will be about 5.2 years.
Okay. And my question was all leading to more of a holistic picture.
With the sewer modeling that we're doing right now, we have a consultant doing the sewer modeling for us along with the water modeling. That will show other areas where we may have issues. We picked these two for one for the odor and the corrosiveness, plus they're the last stops before it runs out of our system into the county's PSA. So that's where we're helping to control our system there.
Mm-hmm.
Once the modeling's done, we may find other areas where we have to do similar things. But we don't have that many lift stations, and we don't have any wastewater treatment plants. We're basically passing the buck on to the county. So once the modeling's done, yes, we may have other areas where we have to address in the sewer and maybe even in the water, but they're underway now, and we'll know probably, you know, by the end of the year.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
So,
thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Who made the motion?
I think Dick did, didn't you?
I did, probably.
And I did the second.
Yes. And I re-seconded.
Okay.
I think we did it at the same time.
It was Ed Gerardo and me.
Okay. All right, there you go.
You did.
Comments from council? Okay, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business. Number one, this is a first reading of an ordinance to adjust the water and sewer rates. By title, an ordinance establishing new charges for water and sewer service. Is there a motion?
Oh, so moved, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman DeWar. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight we bring forward for a proposal to establish or to increase water and sewer rates. Council, we have operated our water and sewer system as an enterprise fund and as efficiently as possible, and we have been able to do so through both internal, having good staff that values efficiency, as well as council giving us the tools to operate efficiently and effectively through allowing us to fund infrastructure or approving the funding of infrastructure repairs, upgrades, and equipment replacements in the budgeting process, and allocations of money through the capital project sales tax and interfund borrowing and issuing of revenue bonds and other types of debt. And both staff and council recognize that because our sewer system, we are a partner in the Aiken County Public Service Authority, that they have costs that they pass on to us. And we periodically need to examine our revenues and our rates to, and after much thought and deliberation, recommend proposals to increase rates. As the fact that we are an enterprise fund, we must be run as a self-supporting entity. As the attached documentation shows, in August 2016, we were notified by the county that they were undergoing a $50 million upgrade to their 40-year-old plant, and that our share, annual share of their debt service, they were borrowing to do this, was going to be about $1,026,000 per year. And the county will bill this as part of their monthly fee that they send us. A portion of every user's sewer bill pays for that to discharge the waste from our system into the Horse Creek Water Treatment Facility. And we've been discussing this. The county did give us the deference of notifying us almost 2 years in advance of this. So we've been preparing to bring this to council since we were notified. So approximately 9% of the sewer rate increase will be related to this debt, that our portion of the cost to upgrade the system. Also, we were notified via telephone March 30th with the subsequent letter that's attached on dated April 3rd that they are also July 1st increasing their treatment rate, their O&M rate, approximately 2% from $1.35 per 1,000 gallons treated to $1.37.5 per 1,000 gallons treated. And this is also part of our recommended rate adjustment. And in addition, we are recommending, as part of our discussion that we had with our rate study that began late last summer, we have not had a rate study in over 25 years, a water rate increase of 2%. So I guess from a dollars and cents perspective for the users, an average residential customer would see their water rate rise about 24 cents a month should council approve this. And we define an average water user as someone using 800 cubic feet of water per month. Their charge would rise from $16.51 to $16.75. The average residential sewer customer, 800 cubic feet of sewer a month, would see their rate rise $30.01 to $33.14. So that would mean the total bill, which currently is billed at $46.52 per month, would rise to $49.89 a month. We are following kind of the model just over the years. For example, in 2015, we absorbed a modest increase from the Public Service Authority. But again, as an enterprise fund, we feel like we need to bring to council anytime the Public Service Authority notifies us of a rate increase. Because again, running it as an enterprise fund, we want to capture all costs. And as I say, we pride ourselves on an efficient operation, and tonight we do bring to council consideration of first reading of an ordinance to establish a new charge for water and sewer service.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bean. I have some questions, but I'm going to have comments from the audience first. So any comments from the audience? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Coaches. Is
that loud enough?
It's pretty loud. I live at 2221 Shawnee Drive in a beautiful number one city of Aiken. And I've been down here 6 years, and this is about the water, naturally. And within the first 3 or 4 years of living on Shawnee, I had no less than 7 water main breaks, all within a quarter mile. And it prompted me to put a water filter in my house. You can't believe how often I have to change that thing. That being said, with this 2% raise in water rates, even though admittedly you just talked about a $1 million surplus in water, yet you were going to transfer $1 million from the water to the sewer, but then you had $1 million surplus.
That was capital project sales tax. Okay. That's not the enterprise fund.
I got that wrong. Anyhow, the 2%, and evidently the county's going to kick us for the next 5 years, but the 2% right now, can I expect that 2% to do something about the rusty pipes and the bad water system here in Aiken, or is this just an ongoing thing? You're going to get more money and not do anything to fix it. The pipes are bad. I'm saying 7 times I was almost on a first name basis with the repair guys. I had one in front of my house, both my neighbors, across the street, around the corner. And I wish I would have saved my old water filter and brought it in here and laid that and a new one next to you. The system needs fixed. And I'm hoping this 2%, would it be earmarked to address this situation or no?
No, sir, it wouldn't.
Okay. So in other words, I'm paying you more money by getting the darn thing better.
No, we're working on that. We're working on the rusty pipes and the system of the water. We certainly recognize, and over the last, I'll say, I know 2 years, we've all been dealing with that. So your point is well taken. This is essentially handling the Passover of what we're having to pay in addition to for the water and for the treatment of the sewer. What we've done in relation to the pipes, though, in our last year's budget, we had $11 million earmarked for replacement. And it's, you know, our infrastructure is probably it's over $100 million easily for that. Oh. But we're taking some real steps in trying to do that. But, no, sir, this money will not go towards that.
Can you
tell me where it was that you did fix the water pipes?
Well, our first phase was right down on Newberry, and we're doing the downtown area. We had a study done. When was the need study done?
Years ago.
Approximately a year ago.
About a year ago, throughout the city's service. And they did basically a color coding. I'd be glad to get your information later and send it to you, but of where the pipes, probably the neighborhood you're talking about, would be a red. We're essentially fixing it on almost a worst first kind of need.
About 5 months, and I see my water pressure go down, and I take it out, and it looks like it's that color. And the new one is... I wish I would have kept the old one. I really did, just to show you how bad it really is out there.
Well,
maybe not everywhere, but it is out there in Briarcliff.
Yes, Mr. Coaches, I'd be happy to share with you is a copy of the study that we've had done in our process that we're moving forward to replace those lines.
Okay. Do you have that tonight? Or?
Well, I can email it to you, and then we can get together and talk about it. I'd be happy to. That's not an issue, but no, sir, I don't have it with me tonight.
I'll phone you outside.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
I would say, sir, that we've identified almost $200 million worth of water and sewer projects that need to be done. You're not alone with a lot of repairs on your street. I live in Hounds Lake North, which is probably one of the newer communities, and in the past 2 months I've already had three repairs. We're living that life to where we had a breakage in the past 3 weeks. We've had three different areas in town where we've had to have boil water advisories. This is what you get when you don't do anything for 30 years with infrastructure.
Yeah.
And now we're playing catch up. And we're doing the best we can. We have $37 million identified in CPST-4, which we hope the voters will support, because we desperately need that money to repair our infrastructure.
Okay.
And unlike the school board, we're not going out to a bond.
Thank you.
Mr. Cultures, let me just add that there is a very serious problem. We know that. It is no secret with our infrastructure issues. It will take a lot of money. The question comes, how much can the voters take? If you want the problem fixed, again, it's going to be very costly. We could do it all within a couple of years, but it's going to take years to repair the problems that we have ignored, as Councilman DeWar said, for some time. And the problem has been we've just pushed it down the road over and over and over, and not focusing on just taking the big licks and going and doing some major repairs.
Yeah, it would be expensive.
Yes.
And in closing, they could take that $57 million for the park and fix the system, but I'm done.
What park are you talking about?
The North Park.
That's not correct. That is not correct.
Well, what she's saying is there's not $57 million. That was a presentation to us from a consultant, but... No, nobody on this council has ever voted for that number.
No, sir,
it's fine, but it
and
does.
And please call us when you hear these things, because we want to make sure that the facts are there.
$59 million was the number that...
It was proposed.
That was a number that it was wrong. It should have been 59. That was a number that our consultant gave us if we fully developed that the way we wanted to. But
the way
the only money we've allocated is what's being spent out there right now. And we're going to have to downsize that a little bit, restructure it, to come up with a program that the public is willing to accept. And I don't know what that is. We haven't even had that discussion yet.
Well, let's... Sure. Let's... any other comments on the issue being considered? Okay. Stuart, my question...
I got a couple comments.
Okay, I want to ask you one thing first. Okay. Stuart, when we did the rate study, I know they came in with a recommendation of a 2% increase. Did they look at efficiencies, do an efficiency study also to see what areas we might could save on?
They looked at efficiencies as well and wanted to bring as part of that our rates up to the American Water Works Association standards. But yes, they did.
Okay, and that standard is set
It's like a national standard, and one thing it will do is make our rate system simpler and have less numbers of rates or less types of rates.
But they looked at the operation as well.
Yes.
As a part of their study.
Correct.
Did they make any recommendations to us?
They, again, as part of that, they took the rates, our existing rates, wanted to simplify the structure and also made some suggestions. But what this ultimately will do, Mayor, is it allows us to capture costs that I guess we've absorbed over the years. As best we can without passing them on to the consumers or to the users. And but the one thing it didn't address, I regret to say, is in terms of infrastructure, that is why, as Councilman DeWar pointed out with CPST-4, that's sort of one of the things we've done over the years to address our infrastructure is using capital project sales tax at the versus the rate passing it on and making it part of our rates.
And keep in mind, Mr. Mayor, you may not recall, I brought it with me, we have winter rates and summer rates, and we're going to go to one rate, which makes it a little bit different. It removes a burden from staff and change the rate as well.
Okay, very good. Councilman Waltz?
Yes, sir. Before we take this to a second reading, I really think we need to look at it again. As you said, you know, what efficiencies do we have when we first were presented this thing? One of the questions was, what can we do to be more efficient in our system and ourselves? I haven't seen a response to that question. I think we owe that to our citizens to get that response. It was indicated we're doing some infrastructure stuff that might save us some money. How do we figure that in there? And if we look at the money that we're spending, we're talking about not 2% this year, but correct me if I'm wrong, it's 2% a year for the next 5 years, correct?
Correct.
Right. So if you look at the net present value of a dollar, it's cheaper now to have a little higher increase and offset a down-the-road increase further down there. Those calculations, I don't know if they've been made. I don't think we have enough information to move this forward at this point until we have another work session to look at it. I don't think it's fair to tax our citizens more money until we look at questions where how can we save money, what can we do to help them out. And I think we need to do that long before we just pass it, because I think the guy, when I asked him the question, said, well, this is what we do. You raise your rates. Well, I don't go along with we just raise rates. I think we have to look at ways to save money first.
What can you think of as a reason, any reasons out of the clear blue that we could use to save money?
That's not my job. That's the engineering department's job.
We're going to stop this to ask that question. But I mean, I don't see what they can do. We're pumping water. We have to charge for it.
I don't know what efficiencies they have. They haven't given me a choice. That's why we hire them. They're the professionals. They need to come to us and tell us that. We're not the professionals in the water business.
Yeah. Well, this is only first reading.
Right.
In the past, we've gone ahead passing the first reading, had a work session. If you want to have another work session before we go second. But
what I'm saying is, I don't want to schedule a second reading until we get answers to these questions that the mayor and I have raised.
But I sort of read you as saying you wanted to defer this one as opposed to passing it. And then
having a work session.
I would agree. I would like to see us pass first reading, but I think the question should be answered before second reading. So.
Yeah. We can have that information for second reading, before second reading.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is we need to have it on a work session.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a work session and have that ready for second reading.
No, we're not going to continue. I'd like to ask that we move on first reading, but have it resolved before second reading. All right, all those in favor of first reading this motion? That's Councilwoman Gregory, the Mayor, Councilwoman Diggs, Councilman DeWar, Councilman Gerardo, it's 4. All those opposed? Councilman Waltz and Councilwoman Price. And we'll have a work session.
It was 5-2.
Right.
You didn't catch your
text, so. Oh, okay. I didn't even say the number, so that's fine. 5-2. The Mayor votes 4. And I'd like to suggest to staff that we have another schedule, another work session on this issue.
We can schedule that in advance of second reading.
Very good. Number two under new business, this is approval of City Council goals for 2018-19 fiscal year. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilman Gregory. Comments from staff?
Yeah, as part of our budget preparation, we do include council goals in the budget document, and I know we did have a work session January 23rd that where council described goals, and again, this is something for the budget to put in the budget document, and we've typically brought these to council for consideration. Some goals. And we had circulated these amongst the council and I guess bringing them for consideration as we as part of our preparation of the budget document for fiscal year 18-19.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beanbaugh. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Okay. All those in favor as presented? That's unanimous?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not for it. Okay, yeah. So all those in favor? It would be Councilman Gregory, the mayor, Councilman Diggs, Councilman DeWar, Gerardo, Councilman Waltz. For all those opposed? Councilwoman Price. Okay, moving down to petitions and requests. Request to hang banners in downtown to promote benefit race for the Duke Cancer Institute. Is there a motion?
I so move.
All right. Let's see. We have Councilman Diggs and Councilman Waltz the second. Comments from staff?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We do have a request to place two banners to promote a 5K race that will be held in Perry Park and around Perry Park on May the 19th to raise money to for a specially licensed plate to benefit the Duke Cancer Institute.
Very good. Is there anyone here in the audience who would like to speak on this? Good evening.
In front of Ted Blanchard Court. Good death. Since my brain surgery, he said I've lost my filter. But as y'all know, July 2016, I was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. And I've been going to Duke every 8 weeks since then. And I love the place, you know. I hate how I've gotten there, but it's been an interesting journey. Met a lot of other people from Aiken, believe it or not, that go to Duke as well. And I thought, you know, how can I help? So this has become my cause. Like I know Miss Diggs does lupus walks every year. You know, she's got a cause and a passion. So, you know, I've tried to find something that I can do to raise money for not just my brain tumor center at Duke, but the entire one. And, you know, in South Carolina, we have over 400 of these specially licensed plates. Schools, universities, all kinds of things. So it takes $6,800 to get it through the state. So I'm trying to raise that $6,800 to get the Duke so we can get this tag made available for patients, supporters, anybody in South Carolina. They see about 2,000 people a year from South Carolina at Duke. So I think the numbers are there to generate an ongoing support for Duke. So that's what my 5K is going to be about. If you've got any extra money, I'm not a good fundraiser. I hope I can meet my goal. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. How much does the license plate sell for?
Well, it's all decided on the cause. Like, I think the university charges $70 for some of theirs, and they make an astronomical amount of money each year off of this. We were looking at about $30. Mm-hmm. Keep it reasonable. But you figure 2,000 people, you know, I have multiple cars, you know, multiple family members. The potential is there to be a good fundraiser for them. That would be ongoing.
Good luck.
Very well.
You're going to get number one?
I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor?
Probably voting.
I'm going to take liberty to say that's unanimous. Thank you. Anything under issues and updates?
Just appreciate the update on Hitchcock Park corridor improvement project. Does anybody know what DOT is doing at Hitchcock Parkway and 421? Anybody from staff know what they're doing there?
Chief?
Don't go over, David. At Hitchcock Parkway, South Carolina Department of Transportation has redesigned or re-engineered the turning movements there, and they're also making some improvements to the pedestrian walkways.
Pedestrian walkway?
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen a pedestrian in that area. Okay.
Thank you. All right, with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Wait, I have just to thank whoever is responsible for clearing out the property over at the African American Cultural Arts Center. It used to be filled with trees. You couldn't see anything but trees, and there was no way you could possibly have a festival or anything on that site. And now it looks good. So thank you, whoever it was.
Can I add one other thing? I'd like to thank Stuart and Tim O'Brien. 2 weeks ago was the first time I've ever been downtown, and they didn't see a city car parked on the street. They were all parked in parking lots that we own, which gave more parking for people downtown. I think staff should keep doing that. I didn't think it was just a one-weekend deal, but I want to thank them for doing that. I had a lot of people notice that.
We provide custom valet service.
I didn't know that.
Thank you. All right, thank you. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
A motion, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please stand up. We adjourn.